Say amen. Amen. Is everybody excited about being in God's house just one more time? Amen. Hallelujah. I think that song this morning was very befitting. As the song says, I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required, it says. But you search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Amen. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that I've made it when it's all about you. Bless the Lord. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. And certainly we do give honor to the Spirit of God, to the Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and set us free, and to our Father who created us from the dust of the ground and who spoke everything into existence. Our hearts are saddened this morning as Brother Kevin and Sister Becky are not here with us. And the fact that they have not lost their mother, or rather Becky's mother, but she has crossed over the Chile Jordan. And she has gone on to the place where we all groan, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we all groan and we desire to be in that place also. Well, she's on now and the streets paved with gold, where she doesn't have to worry about any more sickness or any more suffering. So God still wants us to rejoice today. Amen. He wants us to rejoice and be glad in it, for it's a day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. And so we do continue to pray for the family's strength and that God will give them the comfort wherewith they will use that same comfort to comfort somebody else when they go through the sadness of the loss of a loved one. Amen. Having said that, there is a word coming from the Lord, and I'm just so excited because God is still in control. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a word coming from the Lord. And thirdly, you all could have been somewhere else, but you came out to God's house today to hear a word from him. So give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. If you all would turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, there's a word there from the Lord. Mark chapter 1, and we're going to camp out beginning at verse 40. Mark chapter 1. I'll start reading at verse 40. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you're there, we say amen.
Amen.
And the word of God reads, Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, If you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. I want to use for a subject just for a little while. Now that I'm clean, I ought to be a testimony. Now that I'm clean, I ought to be a testimony. Let us pray. Merciful Father and our God, which art in heaven, we're thankful to you, Father God, for this day, Lord. It's the day that thou hast made. We ask for forgiveness of all of our sins, that, Father, we may be holy and acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength and redeemer who liveth. We ask, Father, that you would give us open minds, that you would give us fertile hearts, that, Father, your word will penetrate our hearts deeply, taking up residence, and that in due season it would bring forth fruits according to thine will. May our minds not roam, but may our minds be centered and focused on your word and your will. Speak to our hearts, Father. And then we ask, Lord God, that you would give me a supernatural amount of strength and energy, miraculous amount of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that, Father, I might carry out this task you've given me on this day. And Lord God, I give you glory right now in advance. For Lord God, I walk by faith and not by sight. I do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. For some reason, my voice seems to want to take off. But certainly we know that God is in control. Amen. Hallelujah. This gospel, according to Mark, is one of the four gospels that's written in the New Testament. And this gospel of Mark is also the shortest of the four gospels that are written in scripture in the New Testament. Mark is writing to the to a Roman crowd, basically. And the way that Mark writes, his writing is designed to appeal to those who are in Rome. Those who have grown up under the Roman culture. Thank you, sir. And so therefore, Mark, unlike Matthew and Luke and John, Mark doesn't go into great amounts of details. But Mark is about action. And you'll see that the Gospel of Mark flows from one story to the next. It's quick, fast, and in a hurry. It basically shows how Jesus performs actions here, there, and everywhere. And I think that the thing that Mark is doing is he's appealing to the mindsets of those who were Romans, because in their mindset, they were about actions and not about a whole bunch of words. Can I get a witness here? I heard somebody say earlier this morning that actions speak louder than words. And I think one of the things that God wants to say to us today in this day and age is that we need to be more about actions than we are about words. In other words, it's all right to come together and to sit down and talk about things that need to be done. But when it's time to get it done, when will we get it done? Amen. And so therefore, Mark's gospel here starts off in chapter 1 by saying John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus. And after Mark explains that he prepares the way for Jesus, he goes on and shows us quick, fast, and in a hurry, bam, that John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. As I said earlier, he moves through very quickly and very swiftly. He's about action. And then right after Jesus is baptized, he goes into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And not only that, but then Jesus quickly afterwards begins his ministry in Galilee. And then he calls four fishermen to the discipleship. After calling the four fishermen to the discipleship, we find that Jesus is already casting out an unclean spirit. When you get to verse 21 down through verse 28, he's casting out an unclean spirit there. When you get to verse 29 through verse 31, you find that Peter's mother-in-law becomes sick and Jesus begins to heal her. And then after that, you find when you get to verse 32, all the way through verse 34, you see that many are healed after the Sabbath sunset. And then you find that Jesus is back preaching in Galilee when you get to verses 35 down through verse 39. And verse 39 says, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and he's casting out demons. Again, Jesus is about action. But not only is he about action, the fact that he's able to do all these miracles also displays that he's a man who's about power. And that's something else that would have appealed to the mindset of the Romans, because their mindset was power and action. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He's coming through with power and with action. And I want to ask a question today. I want to stick a pin there. How many of us as Christians are planning on coming through this lifetime with power and action based upon the fact that God has called us to be a testimony? Can I get a witness here? Hallelujah. It's one thing to give a testimony. Let me give you an illustration. God woke me up this morning. That's an awesome testimony. I'm giving a testimony. I'm talking about what God did for me. But he has called us to be a testimony. And when you be a testimony, it's not what God has done for you, but it's what you do for God. Come on, somebody. Get excited in here this morning, because I want to be a testimony. It's one thing to give a testimony. He is an awesome God. Yes, he put food on my table. Yes, he woke me up this morning. Yes, he gave me traveling mercies. Yes, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. But one thing I do know, that it's time for me to be a testimony, and I'm simply going to be what God has called me to be. Is there anybody in the house who desires to be who God called you to be? Hallelujah. I heard... I heard Brother Hicks talk about that there are children trying to get over here into our country, coming from all over the place. And it's true. And it's because of what people have heard. But the thing that I'm concerned about is that once people get over here, will they find what they're looking for? Somebody ought to say amen up in here. Will they find what they're looking for? It is quite evident that we cannot just walk into any local building that has Christ on the sign and say we've had church. We cannot just go to any building and walk in and sit down and hear the sound doctrine and teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so my question is, will we be that testimony? Well, let's take a look at the text and let's find out how we can be that testimony. Because this man who comes to Jesus has every opportunity to be an amazing testimony for the Lord. He has an opportunity to be. He has everything that he needs to be a testimony, but yet he ends up not being a testimony for the Lord. And we want to find out in this text what happened that caused him not to be the testimony that he should have been. And I think it's going to help us to figure out what's causing us not to be the testimony that we ought to be. Hallelujah, somebody. In verse 40, it says, here we go. Stay with me. Verse by verse. Verse 40 says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, the first thing I want you to know, if you're going to be a testimony for the Lord, you must know that the Lord can do whatever needs to be done. If you're going to be a testimony for the Lord, you've got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he can do for you whatever needs to be done. And so therefore it's in the text. The Bible says he comes to him. He's imploring him. He kneels down. Now this is a man who's a leper. He's in a devastating situation. He is desperate because he realizes that in his condition that he cannot heal himself. As a matter of fact, he also knows that his mother and father can't heal him. He knows that the Pharisees can't heal him. He knows that there's not a doctor in town that can heal him of the disease that he has. And the fact that he knows that, he is devastated and he is desperate. And the fact that he is desperate, he says, okay, I know somebody who can do it. In other words, he must have heard about Jesus. And don't you know anybody who was a leper was alienated and ostracized from society? He could not go home to his family. He could not go out to dinner with his friends. He could not come into the community. If he got within 6 feet of somebody, he had to cry out, unclean, unclean. How embarrassing and how humiliating is that? Suppose every time you went to a restaurant, you had to stand outside the door and yell unclean, and people would walk around you because you were contagious. And that's the condition that this man is in. And the thing we need to realize is that all of us, before Christ showed up in our lives, we were all contagious. Can I get a witness in this place? We were all contagious. We were all filthy and saturated with sin in our lives, and we were contagious. We were contagious. We were rubbing off on other people. We were leading them to do things that were wrong. But the Lord showed up and he touched us. And when he touched us, he cleaned us up so that we were no longer contagious. And the fact that he has cleaned us up, we ought to be a witness for the Lord. We ought to be a witness for the Lord. The Bible says he kneels down. In other words, he not only is begging the Lord, he's not only beseeching him, but he gets down into a worshiping position. He gets down into a worship position. He kneels down and he says to the Lord, listen to this. He says, if you are willing. He didn't say if you can do it. He said, if you're willing. And so he basically realizes that I know that you can do it, Jesus. The issue is, will you do it? In other words, he basically says to Jesus, as messed up as I am, if it's your will, you can clean me up. If it's not your will, I'm just going to have to stay the way that I am. And I think that says something to us. I think it says to us that whenever we go to God in prayer, we ought to always say to him, if it's your will. Because not everybody gets delivered from circumstances on this side. Am I right about it? And so he says, if you are willing. He doesn't know what Jesus' desire is. But he says, one thing I do know, I know that you can make me clean. He basically says, I know, Lord, that you can do for me whatever needs to be done. And that's the first thing we got to realize when it comes to being a witness or a testimony for the Lord. We got to know that whatever the Lord, whatever we need to be done, the Lord can do it. Look with me in verse 41 and 42. I'll bring out the second point. Verse 41 says, then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, he said, I am willing, He said, be cleansed. Then in verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him. Second thing, the Lord's touch is always accompanied by his word. The Lord's touch is always accompanied by his word. In other words, what I'm saying is, it does no good to go out here and defeat the homeless if you ain't gonna give them a word. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. We can go out here and we can feed 1,000 people, but if we don't give them the word of God, it's not going to clean anybody up, and nobody's going to be a testimony for the Lord. It's in the text. First of all, the reason why Jesus touches him in the first place is because he is moved with compassion, which says that he looks at the man in the midst of his situation and he does not scratch his head. He does not sit down and think about whether or not the man deserves to be cleaned up. Oftentimes before we are moved to help somebody, we sit down and have a meeting about whether or not they deserve it. I wish I had just one witness in here. As a matter of fact, let's go back to the books and see how many times we've helped them already. But regardless of how many times this man had messed up in life, whether it was his sins that caused him to have the leprosy, or rather it was just hardships that came up in his life, the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. He had mercy on him. And don't you know every one of us sitting in this room have experienced God's compassion? As a matter of fact, none of us deserve to be cleaned up. None of us deserve to get up early this morning and put on our clothes and come out here to this house of worship. None of us deserved it, but because he was moved with compassion, he touched us early this morning and woke us up, and our bed wasn't our cooling board and our walls was not our graves. And so he says, the Bible says he was moved with compassion and he stretched out his hand and he touches him. Now the fact that Jesus touches him, the fact that he touches him, he didn't have to. He could have just spoke a word. But you know, you can call somebody on the telephone and you can say, I'm praying for you. But when you get in your car and when you make a trip and when you go to visit, it says to them, hey, you ain't just talking, but you walking. I know you care about me because you came to see about me. And that's what Jesus does. He touches him. Now, when he touches him, he's displaying power, because anybody who touched a leper would become contagious and would be considered unclean and would also have to be ostracized. And that's one of the things that has plagued the church. God forbid if I get caught associating with a drunk. What is it that people are going to think about me if they see me talking to somebody that's done something wrong? Sometimes, not everybody, but there's a lot of folks who call themselves Christians who have become more concerned about what's going to get on them than they are about helping people who are in need, people who are struggling. Jesus has called us not just to walk around giving a testimony. Let me tell you something. There's nothing worse than somebody who's always walking around talking about how good God is, but yet God can't do anything good through them. God is good. And all the time. See, we got it down. There are sinners in this world. There are people who are unsaved that can't stand Christians. And the reason why they can't stand Christians is because they aren't seeing any power manifested in our lives. The reason why people respected Jesus is because he demonstrated power. And people say, well, we ain't Jesus. We can't do this and that and the other. He said, go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always. God doesn't tell us to do anything that we don't have the power to do. He told them to tarry ye for the Holy Ghost in the upper room. And when it comes upon you, he said, ye shall receive what? Power to be witnesses unto me. We have power inside of us that ain't even been used yet. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? The reason why most people don't buy fancy sports cars and BMWs is because they say, where am I going to use all that power?
Why am I going to buy a car that does 225 miles per hour? I can't drive that fast around here, so it's useless. I say that to say this, the fact that he has empowered us to speak a word in somebody's life and change their situation and cause them to become a better person, that's power. But it's useless if we don't use it. And so Jesus instead, he said, I am willing, be cleansed. He touches him. He shows him love. He shows him compassion. And the Bible says that as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleaned up. I'm telling you, a touch is nothing apart from his word. Jesus touches him. He speaks a word. I am willing. And he touches him. And can you see the tears coming down that man's face? Can you see how when he is cleaned up, when he's relieved? Because watch this. Not only is he cleaned up of leprosy, that's just one thing, but he now is restored to his family. He can now go out to dinner with his friends. He can now come into the worship center and say amen and shout hallelujah with the rest of the saints. I'm telling you, there are some people out here on the campgrounds that need to be cleaned up. And we need to stop keeping this thing to ourselves. We need to be a testimony. Now, listen. Giving a testimony is fine. Don't stop telling your testimony. But I want you to start being a testimony, because you see, when you're telling a testimony, people hear you. Watch this. But when you be a testimony, people see you. In other words, they don't just hear you talking about what God has done for you, but what they see is what God is doing in you. And there's a difference, because what I want is I want somebody to see what God is doing in me. As a matter of fact, I want somebody to come up to me and say, I perceive that you must be a child of God. As a matter of fact, I went to a cookout a couple of weeks ago with my children, and we were at the cookout, and there were some people there, and they were drinking their cold beer and pitching horseshoes and having all kinds of fun. And that was one time in my ministry when I didn't go to cookouts, because if people were drinking and stuff like that, I am not going to be caught there. What are people going to say about me? And one of the things that God showed me is that here Jesus was sitting in Matthew's house with sinners and tax collectors. And the Pharisees got upset and said, why is your master eating with sinners and tax collectors? And Jesus said, I did not come for people who are well, but I came for people who are sick. And if you are well and you don't need a physician, then I ain't looking for you. And I say that to say this, that while I was there and they were drinking and listening to their music and doing their thing, and I was there and I was looking at the kids swinging on the tire and the ropes and having a good time, and I was sitting there in the lawn chair, and a little girl asked my daughter, she said, is your daddy a preacher? And my daughter Bethany, she said, yes, he is. How'd you know? She said, because something's different about him. She said, he's not drinking and doing the stuff that everybody else is doing. I'm telling you, on that day, I was a testimony. I didn't give a testimony, but I was a testimony. And so, first of all, you must know that the Lord can do whatever needs to be done. Secondly, the Lord's touch is always accompanied by his word. Thirdly, I want you to see, look in verse 43. Verse 43, it says, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. It doesn't look like anything's in that verse, but here's a good point. The Lord warns us not to get sidetracked. Because I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, when you come to church or somebody witnesses to you and you give your life to the Lord, I'm telling you, and once the Spirit enters you, you can become so excited that you think that you've already arrived. You think that there's nothing left for you to do but go to glory, and the devil can't do anything to you. And I stop by to tell you that Jesus warns this man, now that you've been cleaned up, now that you can go out to dinner, now that you can go home to your family, don't get sidetracked. Amen. He warns him. Don't get sidetracked. And I think the thing that he wants to tell us today, if we're going to be a testimony for the Lord, we got to be careful that we don't get sidetracked. We got to be careful about running out bragging and boasting. Not everybody wants to hear how good God is. We got to wait for the Lord to open the door. Because you mess around and tell the wrong person how God bless you with a brand new car, and they get jealous and mess around and start to cause a whole lot of trouble in your life. You can't tell everybody that your children are getting straight A's in school and doing so well and wonderful. Not everybody cares. Can't get sidetracked. And then we got to be careful about trying to be Bible scholars. Because that's one of the things that he warns this guy about here is, look, stay with me. He says in verse 43, he strictly warned him. In other words, he sat him down. And he said, let me tell you something. I done cleaned you up. But I'm warning you that you're going to get messed up and you're not going to be all that you can be if you don't follow my instructions. And that's one of the things that happens to Christians all the time. We get so excited, we think we got it figured out, we don't follow his instructions. Well, I don't need to do all of that. You need to do everything he says. Everything, and then some more of what he says. Look with me in verse 44. It says this, and he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. I want to stick a pin there. That doesn't make sense, does it? You mean the Lord has cleaned me up? He's done a miracle in my life, and he's telling me not to tell anybody? That's right. He's telling me not to tell anybody, because guess what? Some folk ain't educated enough to tell it. Because once we get cleaned up, we need to be educated with the word of God in order to tell it right. You want to know how to get educated to tell it right? Get in a Bible study with some sound doctrinal teaching. Everybody should have said amen to that. Do you know the people who have the best jobs in the secular world? The ones with degrees. Well, let me put it this way. The ones who have the best paying jobs are the ones with degrees. Because when you have a degree, it says that you've been to school. It says that you've been educated. It says that you've mastered the curriculum. And it says that you are more than capable of handling the job. And all I'm saying is, what makes us think that when we enter into the kingdom of God, that we don't have to get educated so that we can get some certificates and some training so that we can master the job that God has given us? You know what the world says? The world says the church is the only place where you can just run up in there and just do anything that you want with no training. So see that you say nothing to anyone. He said, but go your way. Now watch this. Here it is. He says, show yourself to the priests. He says, offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded. He says, as a testimony to them. In other words, he would read like this in the original language. Go your way, show yourself to the priest as a testimony to them. Here it is. Number four, you ought to be a testimony. That's where the text comes from. That's where the title comes from. It's right there. He says, you ought to be a testimony. He says, look, don't say anything. You don't owe anybody any explanation about how you got blessed. See, some of us aren't just telling how we got blessed because we want people to be educated, but some of us feel like we owe an explanation to people, and we don't owe anybody an explanation when God does something for us. I don't need to explain how I can preach in spite of the fact that I was an alcoholic 15 years ago. Some things you got to let God reveal to people. He says, don't say a word. He says, show yourself to the priest. In other words, he says, now that you are clean, he says, I want you to go get the things that are necessary for you to offer as a sacrifice. And I want you to just show yourself to the priest. In other words, go to the priest and just stand there and let him look at you. Good God Almighty. Just stand in front of the priest and let him look at you. And when they stood in front of the priest would turn them all the way around and say, raise your arms and do all this and that and bend over and sideways and this and that and raise and make sure you wouldn't have no sores on your body that was any hidden places. So they inspected you thoroughly. And the thing that God says to us, if we're going to be a testimony, We got to get back to just walking in the community in the way that the Lord has told us to and let folk inspect us. It's all right to go through an inspection when you know everything's right on the vehicle. Many people bypass emissions inspections because they know the cars ain't running right. As a matter of fact, some people have moved out of Prince William County to avoid emissions inspections. Move to a county where I ain't got to go through all that stuff. And we got some Christians that are avoiding inspections. You know, before I got saved, whenever I saw a police car coming, I would slide down in the seat. And my heart rate would increase. And I couldn't stand police officers. Oh, what does he want? You know why? Because when you're out there doing stuff, you got no business. And as the older folks say, when the man comes, you get nervous and you get scared even when you ain't done nothing at the moment. And that's the way I was. But as soon as I got saved, I was driving down Route 29 north, coming from Bilton and heading towards Culpeper, and there was a road check they had set up. Well, I was saved. I wasn't drunk anymore. Driver's license was not suspended. Tags were up to date on the car. Brand new tires all the way around. As a matter of fact, the car was brand new. I couldn't even hit running myself. So I was driving in my, and I got so excited, I started smiling. I said, oh, road check. For the first time in my life, I was going through a road check without being worried about anything. So when I got up there, the police officer said, how you doing? So I said, doing just fine. I said, it's so good to see y'all out here. He said, license and registration. I had it all ready for him. I handed it to him out the window. I said, you know what? I said, I'm so glad y'all are out here. I said, this drinking and driving has got to stop. When God cleans you up, you can be a testimony. Can I get a witness here? That's what he tells the man. He tells the man, he says, I want you to go and show yourself to the priest. Let him inspect you, he said, as a testimony to them. It's going to testify to them that God is real. It's going to testify to them that I have power. It's going to testify to them that I am changing people's lives, no matter how bad the circumstance is. But I want you to see the last thing. The last thing in verse 45. However, you see that word, however? It means the whole context is about to change. It's the same as but. In other words, it means we got a but in the story. However, he went out and began to do what? Publish it or proclaim it freely. The fact that the Bible says he began to publish it or proclaim it freely means he put it out there for everybody. Jesus said, tell no one, and the man tells everybody. He's got loose lips, and it sinks his ship. He goes out and he begins to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Now, I want you to see something. I want you to see that what this did was it messed up his testimony. He was not the testimony that Christ called him to be. But not only that, in spite of our disobedience, Jesus still takes our place. It's in the text here that he's not the testimony that God designs him to be. Not only that, but now here Jesus is in a deserted place. The man was in a deserted place when he had the leprosy. Can I get a witness? Amen. Now that he's cleaned up, he's in public places. Come on, somebody. And here Jesus is in deserted places. There's a spiritual picture here that Jesus goes to the deserted places while the man comes to the public places, because the man is now cleaned up, and here Jesus is struggling because he took the man's place. I want you to know, all I'm saying is that when Jesus was on the cross, he took our place. We should have been on the cross with spikes in our hands and nails in our feet and gasping for air, but yet the Lord took our place. And because he took our place, we didn't have to go to the cross. And since we don't have to go to the cross, all we have to do is just accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And we can be a testimony. So the text teaches us that even if we don't be the testimony he's caused us to be, the Bible says that they came to him from every direction. The only one who can function properly in deserted places is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because even though he's in deserted places, people are still coming to him left and right. So if Jesus is the only one who can function properly in deserted places, if you find yourself in a place of desertion, make sure it's his characteristics that's manifested in your life. And people will still come to him in deserted places. Point number one, you must know that the Lord can do whatever needs to be done. Point number two, the Lord's touch is always accompanied by his word. Point number three, the Lord warns us not to get sidetracked. Number four, you ought to be a testimony. And number five, in spite of our disobedience, Jesus still took our place. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Isn't God all right? Some of you are sitting there and I can see you're saying, Lord, God, thank you. The light came on, didn't it? Many of us have been given the testimony. But what about being one? When you're being a testimony, you don't, there's times when you don't have to say a word. Just be who God called you to be. If I were to call on Peter, when they said, Peter, we're going to crucify you. Peter probably would have said, well, that's just giving a testimony. I want to be a testimony. Crucify me upside down. I want to be a testimony. I think if Paul were here, Paul would say that they told me all I had to do was renounce Christ. And I could have given a testimony by saying the Lord saved me on the road to Damascus and this and that and the other. But Paul said, no, I want to be a testimony. I ain't going to renounce him. Go ahead. Cut my head off. If I were to call on Polycarp, he would say I had a chance not to burn. All I had to do was renounce Christ. But I told him, go ahead. You throw more wood on there and make the fire hotter. I may burn for a moment, but I'm going to live forever. Because Polycarp wanted to be a testimony. And God is saying to us today, saints, be a testimony. Make sure the life that we live brings glory to our Father. If the way we act, if the way we talk, if the way we live is not bringing glory to God, if we are who we say we are, we ought to make the necessary changes. Amen. Hallelujah. At this time, we prepare our hearts and our minds for...